with God's response to a repentant heart. Here's Pastor Jeff Johnson.
God loves the heart that repents and says, God, I am so sorry. I've been blowing it. I've been in the flesh. I've been cussing people out. I've been negative. I've been a knucklehead. And I am really sorry. God sees that heart. And he says, I will meet that heart. And I will set that individual free.
Your spirit leads me. Running after you, I'll leave behind the worthless love, and I'm trading them for priceless truth.
While God has promised forgiveness to the repentant heart, he has not promised tomorrow to the heart that's unrepentant. Now is the time. And that sense of urgency is reflected in today's Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff Johnson. Welcome to the program. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, we find a remarkable promise in answer to Solomon's dedication prayer, and it has application to a repentant individual, even a nation. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Notice, it says, verse 11, and Solomon finished the house of the Lord. It is finished. Someone said that. Do you know who that someone was? Yeah, he said, I came to do the work. It's done. Solomon, a beautiful type of Jesus when he was right. But he slid away and was half-hearted. He wasn't like his father David. David was full-hearted. Why did God love David more than Solomon? Well, David truly repented of his sin. God loves the heart that repents and says, God, I am so sorry. I've been blowing it. I've been in the flesh. I've been cussing people out. I've been negative. I've been a knucklehead. And I am really sorry. God sees that heart. And he says, that's a heart like David. And I will meet that heart. And I will set that individual free. Free from what? From the sin that has been bumming you out, from the thing that has grabbed your heart, the anger, that hatred, or whatever you're dealing with. He came to give us shalom, peace. Solomon, shalom. His name means peace. They had the greatest peace at this time ever in the world. So Solomon finishes the house of the Lord. And all that came to Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord, and in his own house, he prospered. He accomplished. He everything was effected. Everything was done. And it's kind of a dangerous thing, though, with Solomon. And I think maybe this might be the time where he just went, you know, I can kick back right now. I did it. Dad, I did it. Remember when Dad kicked back? Remember when he was supposed to go to war as all the other kings, and it was summertime? And you remember what he did? He says, you know what? I'm going to relax. I'll let all my warriors go out there and do their thing and fight for me and fight for the land. But I'm staying behind, okay? And he went out on his palace, you know, thing and sticking over the area, and he looked down, and there was Bathsheba. Bad news, man. The guy's over 50 years of age. Do you think old men get tempted? Yes, just like young, but young have a harder time. But he felt bad, man. So, Solomon, watch it. The Lord's covenant now with Solomon. This is the second appearance to Solomon. Here's the second time. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and I have chosen this place, to myself for a house of sacrifice. Wow. A house of sacrifice? Yeah, that's all we're going to do here. Sacrifice. And so when he comes to us, he He takes over our being. It's about sacrifice, isn't it? He sacrificed for us. We sacrifice for those around us. We lay our lives down. We minister. We serve. We seek to be like Jesus and affect others' lives. He just takes us and says, now, it's time for you to sacrifice. I think this was God's sort of wake-up call for Solomon, who was slipping into apostasy. He was slipping into maybe getting away from the Lord at this time. And he's saying, it's sacrifice, Solomon. Notice verse 13, if I shut up the heaven and there is no rain. So God visits him. He tells him, hey, what's going to happen when I visit you and there's no rain? And I cut the rain off, because God's done that a number of times. And if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. It's a little bit, not a little bit, but a whole lot about sowing and reaping here. Why would God do something like that? Well, because God's people sometimes don't listen and don't continue on. And because they don't continue on and they start doing their own thing again, God goes after them because he is a good father. And he chastens his sons and daughters. And he's not going to let you go. I don't care how hard you try. I'm going to party hardy. I'm going to get back to the old group. Go ahead, man. You've already tasted and seen that God is good. You're going to have a hard time. You're going to have to really work at sinning. And you'll find yourself there, and he will find you there, because you're going to go through a lot. Because you're running from the Lord. And because you're running from the Lord who knows everything, weird stuff's going to happen to you. It's just going to happen all the time. You're going, what's this? Why is this? Because when you're a child of the Lord, we have trials and tribulations, but it's different than those that are running from him, prodigals. Okay? It's different. Because he's with us during the time. And he gives us strength, and we get through it. You see, he is the one that carries us, picks us up, and carries us through it. But in this situation, what's going to happen when there's no rain? Locusts, pestilence. What are you going to do? Look at verse 14. And then God says, if my people, that's you, Jews, you're my people, which are called by my name, if you will humble yourselves, he's giving them something that is unbelievable, a way to get back. You know, you don't have to be out there. You don't have to continue on with that. You can come back. He's got provision for you. He loves you, and he doesn't want you out there getting beat up all the time and hitting the wall again and again and again because you're so stubborn. But he's going, no, just humble yourself and pray and seek my face. So pray, repent, ask for forgiveness. You have not because you ask not. Just ask. He'll forgive you of all unrighteousness and all, everything you've done, and he will restore you as his child, and you'll be in the grace of God, in the peace of God. And it'll rule in your heart and in your mind. But you must humble yourselves, pray, seek my face. Turn from your wicked ways. Repent. Turn from what you've been doing. Then, and only then, God says, will I hear. You see, there's our part that we got to do, and rightly so. We're the ones that walked away. He never walked away. He was always there. We walked away. And then we're feeling angry and, yeah, I went to church. Yeah, I did that prayer stuff. It's bogus, man. Don't work. You know, I tried that. No, come on. Deep down inside, man, you know it's real. And you're just running. You don't need to run anymore. Humble yourself. Pray. And seek his face. Turn. You're going to leave here walking differently towards the Lord. And he says, I will hear. That's God's part. I'll hear your prayer. You just pray. I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. Or let me say it this way, I will heal your heart. I will heal your broken heart, your hard heart. I'll break it up. And it'll be full of love again. You remember how it used to be. You were the first one showing up at the prayer meeting. You were so excited. But something has happened over the years where now it's cold, that relationship. It needs to be heated up again. How can you heat it up? I don't know. I've been this way for a long time. I just figured that's the way it is. No. It gives you the key right here. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You say, well, isn't that for our nation? Yeah, it's a good idea, nation. Do it. But how about individuals? See, that's why I'm saying this whole chapter is about rededication, recommitment of our lives towards Him and getting it right, because He spells it out and it's simple. It's not hard. He will forgive. He will heal you. Isn't that great? He loves us so much. He'll touch your heart. Now, mine eyes, verse 15, shall be open, and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. Jerusalem, it's a special place. What can I say? God loves it. He did a lot of stuff there. Over 18 battles Jerusalem was involved with. And, oh, man, and what took place there in Jerusalem? Jesus was crucified on Mount Moriah, the very top. And that's where the greatest battle was fought and won against the enemy, Satan. He didn't know what he was doing. And he was cheering, and he wanted everybody in the city of Jerusalem to cheer. But he had no idea what it meant for him to crucify the Lord of glory and what it would mean to all men, because we would be able to pull out of our slime. We would be able to pull out of our sin. We would be able to pull out of our darkness and come into the light and be right with God. What a victory. Changing not just a man outwardly, changing a man or woman inwardly. In the heart. But what is the problem? Isaiah 59 verse 1. My ear is not deaf that I cannot hear your prayer. But I'll tell you what's the problem. It's your sin that you continue to live in and be in that breaks us, that makes a wall between us. I can't have a relationship with you with that sin that you've been playing with and that thing that you've been doing. When that's removed, when you are repentant, and when you give it to me, I'll take it. I'll heal you. But you got to be real with me, and I'll be real with you, says the Lord. He wants to pull you out of the muck and mire. Notice verse 16, for now have I chosen and sanctified this house. This is special, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there forever. Perpetually, I am for you. I will always be there. I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. I want to be with you. I want to be in you. I want to be your God. Let me in. Who's that knocking? Knocking at our door. As Christians? Yeah. I want to come in. Sometimes Christians can turn off the Lord and start doing it themselves. And then they become religious. It's the ugliest thing you ever saw. They're in church and going, hallelujah, praise God. And the wife's looking at the guy. I know you. I live with you. You're weird. You're wrong. You're twisted, man. I mean, what's wrong with you? I am religious, man. That's not right. We've got to be real. He makes us real. You mean you live this way, you pray with your wife, you do these things at home? Well, if you don't, you're a hypocrite. And that's somebody that puts on a mask and tries to be somebody they're not. There's a whole lot of people and Christians that get into that. We need to repent. We need to pull out. Over in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, I have a note. Acts 1, 4, it says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem. Oh, no. Stay here. Wait for the promise of the Father, guys. Don't leave here without Him. Don't leave here without being filled with God's Spirit, without repenting, without getting right with God. We are in the sanctuary of the Lord, in His presence. We are all, those of us that know Him, we're walking sanctuaries. We're walking temples of God. Do you think He wants us to rededicate our temples with communion in front of us? Oh man, that's the best thing. That's healthy. That's good. Because God's going to get the glory from that. Your wife's going to be shocked too. Or the husband's going to be shocked that God is real and He's changing hearts. And you can dedicate yourself to God, and He will take you just as you are and make you something beautiful. He'll make you His poema, His poem, something that's special. So verse 17, and as for thee, if thou wilt walk, listen to what God says. Listen, Solomon, if you will walk before me as David thy father walked. I mean, his heart was turned towards God, especially after he repented of his sin. He served the Lord. He was one heart, full on for God, okay? So walk as David. Remember that. Walk as David and do according to all that I have commanded you and shall observe to do my statutes and my judgments. So read my word. And if you love me, what did Jesus say? If you love me, obey my commandments. Obey my word. You can prove your love to Him by just saying, yes, sir. That's right. I'm not going there. I'm not doing that. I'm backing off. It's not what God said. I'm going by what He said rather than what the world says, even rather than what my flesh says. It'll be good. It'll feel good. Do it. And the enemy's constantly trying to get us to blow it. Stand strong in His power and in His might. Walk with God. There's victory in Jesus. Let me add this. God is looking over this place from the Mount of Olives. You can see the temple area. And God saying, I love this place. This is where I live. And He's saying to us as He looks at us, I love you. I want to live in you. I am my beloved's and He is mine. Let me just come in. I'll clean house. I'll take care of it. I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. Just let go. Humble yourself. Pray. Repent. Ask me to forgive you. I dare you, God says, because you're going to get forgiven and I will heal you. So verse 18, I will establish the throne of thy kingdom according to what I have coveted. He coveted, He promised, He dedicated with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to rule or to be ruler in Israel. In other words, what is he saying? Well, in the long haul, and when you look at it, Solomon fell. Solomon blew it. So he was a type of Christ so far, and then he fell apart. Well, what's he talking about here? Well, there's no one in his line that's important, really, but Jesus. And that's what God's seeing here. Through David, the promise would come of the promised Messiah, the Savior of the world, the Son of David, he's called. There shall not fail a man. So, note verse 19. But this is interesting because these few verses that we're closing with, this is the consequences of disobedience, okay? This is very important. This is rubber band theology. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever taken a rubber band and went like this and then let this go and it just hit your hand? Was that a stinger or what? And we got to be careful about rubber band theology, okay? If you turn away, condition, you forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them. Not just serve them, but you begin to worship them. Your passion is for that car, that boat, that house, that drug, that drink, that pornography. You're just driven. Passion. Your flesh. And you begin to worship it. It's serious stuff. And then he says, and here's the consequence, then will I pluck them up by the roots. That means death. You pull something out by its roots, you're killing it. If you break it off and the roots are still there, guess what? It's coming back. Not this one. I'll pluck them up like the roots out of my land that I have given to them. And this house, this beautiful house that took 150,000 men to build, 7 years. And it's beautiful. It's put together so perfectly with all the stones, the jewels, the various rocks of the land. And it was the house of the Lord. He said, this house, which I have sanctified for my name. This is a special house. Guys, we are that special house. God chose you. He called you to live inside of you. You gotta fear God. You can't just play games. You can't just mess around. Oh, but I don't let anybody know. Oh, you have the fear of man. Yeah, I guess. I just don't want anybody to know what I'm doing. What about God? He knows exactly what you're doing. Oh, didn't think about that. Notice he says, will I cast out of my sight, and I will make it to be a proverb and a byword among the nations. Anti-Semitism, man. Look at Israel. Look at the anger, the hatred that's towards Israel. What did they do that's so bad? They turned their back on their God, on their Messiah. They rejected him. Well, the Romans did too. Yeah, they crucified him. What kind of man crucified my Lord? A man that thinks like you and me. That's who crucified Jesus. That's how our hearts are so wicked. Oh, man. Ask God to show you your heart. You'll freak out, man. It's wicked. But he's so good. That's why we need to seek after the goodness of God. We need to stay under the spout where his glory is coming out. We need to stay in Bible study. We need to stay in communion. We need to stay in fellowship. We need to stay in prayer. The goodness of God. They're a byword now. A proverb. I mean, just look at the Mosque of Omar. Every time they show Jerusalem, what do they show? A mosque. Huge mosque with a big gold top on it. What happened? Where's the temple? It's not there, man. What happened? And it shall be answered. Because they forsook the Lord, God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt.
Pastor Jeff Johnson ending today's Sound Doctrine on a rather low note. Still, the Lord is ready to forgive the one or even the nation that will turn to him. Oh, that is what we should be praying for. Well, you have a few options if you would like to hear this study once again. The easiest is to go to sounddoctrineradio.org or download our free app and listen on your mobile device. Search for Calvary Chapel Downey in the App Store or get it on Google Play. And you can also call and request a CD copy for a suggested donation of $5 at 800-353-7553. Again, 800-353-7553. Here at Sound Doctrine, we try to select resources each month that we believe can really help you grow and be successful in your Christian life. Today, we would like to make a special mention of a book by Dr. Warren Wiersbe. It's called The Strategy of Satan. Learn how to detect and defeat the enemy as Warren Wiersbe zeroes in on Satan's attacks as a deceiver, a destroyer, ruler, and accuser. He emphasizes that conquering the enemy comes by obeying God's truth. We'll send this your way when you call us, 800-353-7553, or visit us online at sounddoctrineradio.org. We ask for $15 for this book, The Strategy of Satan. And if you can include a little extra, that would be most appreciated. It'll serve to help us continue this radio ministry. You can make a secure donation online at sounddoctrineradio.org or again, by calling us 800-353-7553. If you find these daily studies helpful, we'd love to know about it. We want to be wise investors of God's resources, and listener feedback helps us in that endeavor. Pastor Jeff would be very encouraged to hear from you. Email us today and let us know the station you listen to. Our email address is sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. That's sounddoctrine@calvarydowney.org. Well, on we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 8 tomorrow on Sound Doctrine with Pastor Jeff. We'll see you then. This program is presented by Calvary Chapel Downey. So Father,